Okay, we are on page 100. Yeah, I like to quote you. We were spending quite a bit of time on the Karoim and the king's rebuff of the Karoim. We're coming to the end of it. Here, we're now on page 100, where he gets into an example. I just want to read to you from this excellent introduction, Rabbi Daniel Korobkin wrote a translation of the Kuzari. And in the introduction, he writes the following. Modern scholars tell us, I don't know who those modern scholars are, based on archaeological evidence from the Cairo Geniza, that Rabbi Halevi wrote at least a portion of the Kuzari as a response to a former student who had become a Karaite. The Karaites were a sect of Jews who had rejected Rabbinic Judaism, much like the Sadducees did during the time of the Second Temple. Thus, Rabbi Halevi felt compelled not only to defend the written Torah, but the oral Torah, the wisdom of our Talmudic sages as well. He needed to demonstrate how the wisdom of the sages was firmly rooted in a legitimate train of tradition, Shoshalas HaMasorah, that dated back to Moshe at Sinai, while the only way to understand scripture was through the explanation of the sages, and how their wisdom surpassed that of other wise men of their times. I think this is a reference to the section we've been learning, because the Kuzari begins with the Kuzar looking to compare religions. And that's really what the beginning of the Kuzari discusses. We started from Maamar Gimel. Here in Maamar Gimel, he spent quite a bit of time talking about the Karaites. So I think that this introduction sort of gives a little bit of an understanding as to why some time was spent on it. And I think what's important for us to realize is how in every time period in history, there is the philosophy which draws Jews away from Judaism. There's that enticing philosophy which draws Jews away. But centuries later, it seems absurd. It's very much like all the Avodah Zarah. The idea of the Karaites, which was so popular then, to accept Torah without Torah Shebaal Peh, to accept the divine Torah given by God without a Torah Shebaal Peh, to us it seems ridiculous for the reasons that the Kuzari explained, that you can't understand anything from the Torah Shebaal Peh by itself. And nevertheless, in its time, it was an enticing, compelling attraction. So it's not around as an attractive. Those Karaites that do it today do it. Maseres Aviseinu Bi'adayim. They do it because they're loyal to the tradition of their, or because it's good for business. But it's not. So today there are other things that are enticing. I mean, it's Rav Palm told me once that I would not be able to understand the allure of the Haskalah in the time that he was a boy in Lita. Rav Schwab once said that it's hard for us to understand the lore of communism to people who had religious faith, people who had very strong drive to do things right. And in every period of time, there is that enticing thing. It's funny that our period, at least in the United States, what pulls people away is not a philosophy. It's more of a world in which pleasure and joy is enticing to pull people away from Torah. That's what America's about. But in every generation, there's something, and it doesn't go by one generation at a time. The Karaites and the Tzedukim before them lasted for a very long time. Whoever the Samaritans are, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. All right, so here, here on page 100, he really really finished with his rebuffing of the Karaites. Va'amor shaloi lachloikim akaroim. Ba'amashem toim aleinu min hamuvan memilas memachas ha-shabbos. One of the things that the Karaites were very strong about was that Shavuos had to fall on Sunday. Because the Torah says it's memachas ha-shabbos, the day after Shabbos. We all know the day after Shabbos is Sunday. Somehow that was a tremendous chip on the shoulder of the Tzedukim, in the time of the Mishnayos, in the time described in the Mishnayos, and later of the Karaites to make him come out on, always on Sunday. Shumi Yom Rishay. Because we say that we have to follow the opinion of those that were the Kayanim, the Shaiftim, the Malachim, whoever it is, Haritzuyim, who find agreement with the Das of the Sanhedrin, Chalachachamim. Raki Kavana Mina Misbrahu Lishum Lasum Chamishim Yaim. The example of Sunday is the way the Torah illustrates the number of 50 days. Bain Bikur Ktsir Sairim. From the time you start cutting the Sairim, which is the Omer, on the second day of Pesach, Ubikurei Ktsir Chitim, which is Shavuos. Now before you turn your page, God always has a sense of humor. If you look at the Kol Yehuda, those of you who have this here on page 101, on the sixth line, he quotes the Ravid. Okay? I don't know how many places in this book it mentions the Chashmonaim. But since it's the first night of Hanukkah, obviously the page that we're doing, and I'm not making this up, just, I didn't plan it this way, just the way it came out, right? On the sixth line of the Kol Yehuda, he quotes the Rav at Zelashaynei, Hoya haminig bebayis sheini. The custom was, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, Shehamelech b'mnei Chashmonai, Oime Avdeim b'nei Hordis. The Chashmonai were king for 103 years, followed by Hordis and his descendants. You talk about division of powers in the United States, right? You have the executive branch and the legislative branch and judiciary. So here, they said there was a division of powers. The Chashmonaim, when they were kings, their job was to lead people in battle, to take taxes, to fix the roads. We find that they divided the executive branch, sort of the king, was one thing, and those who made decisions and understanding of Torah, it was divided. The king didn't have that as his role. So that is the thing. We find a couple of places in Tanakh where a king tried to take something else. The most famous, the case of Uzziah HaMelech, who you all heard of, who tried to take Kuna Gedaila to himself. And he was afflicted with tzaras for the rest of his life. And so there was a division. So he's saying here on top, he's mentioning this on top, he mentioned the quote, Kainim Shaiftim, Imulachim Haritzim, Imdas Sanhedrin. What king said, if the Sanhedrin agreed, and they all said, "Akavana misbahul lasum chamishim yaim," to put a spread of 50 days, bekur ktsir sairim, the omer which is cut on Pesach, ubekurei ktsir chitim which is shavuos, ushmiras shiva shavuos shem shiva shabbosis tamimais, and to keep it 7 weeks. Now, a week in Hebrew is shabbosis. A Shabbos could mean the seventh day, and it could mean a week. V'nasan lanu dimyon. So the Torah gives an example, a Sunday. If the beginning of the cutting of the Omer will be on a Sunday, then Shavuos will be on Sunday. If the second day of Pesach is Monday, then Shavuos will be Monday. And the beginning of the cutting of the Omer takes place at the time that's appropriate each year. Naskalbay, Vinisapabai, Vinisparbai. We start with that and we count with it. The Kavuai says, Yem Shani Shal Pesach, Vala Yem is Astira Latira, Vizchayavnu Lakablai Latira, Neshuman Amokam, Shiv Chah Hashem, in Tanam and Iskarim. We said earlier, the Torah itself says, Vakamto Valisa El Hamokam, Shiv Chah Hashem, that the decisions are made there. Okay, so he basically gives this one example. The rest of it was the rejection of the Shita of the Quran. But this is his presentation to the Kuzari. Omar Kuzari, the king responds. Kafar pasakta bi hachaver, bikloloi sa'elu. You've convinced me of these general rules. Ashalay uchal lahachisham. I can't deny what you presented. Michal kim hayu belibi mitainai sakaraim hayisisav shachisachavahem. He says, but there's still some individual tightness of the Quran bother me. In other words, you're right. You can't take a Sefer Torah and say, okay, I'm going to make my religion from the Sefer Torah because there's nothing understandable. Still, he says, there are individual tainas that they have that I find interesting, that I find challenging. And really, I would like to present to you some of those. We'll see, for example, Ayin Tachas Ayin. He says, okay, it's true, but the Torah says, Ayin Tachas Ayin, eye for an eye. That still bothers me. Individual things bother me. So Mem Gimel Omar Achover. Then Achover here says something that's philosophy in life in general. And he applies it here. It's a very important philosophy. Kishiz baru haklolois al titein libcha lachalokim. Now those words should go up on a big sign. When the klal is true, don't agonize over the prat. What it means basically is this. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a person that you know is a good friend. You know he's faithful to you. You know there's love between you. And you've gone through things together. You know the clown. You know that he's a faithful person to you. And now a prod happens. Something happened. You don't understand. How can he do this? What happens to people is they forget the clown and they get hung up on the prod. They forget the big idea, and they say, how can you do this to me? The rule in life is, baru ha-klolois, al titen lipcha lachalokim. If overall you have a good friendship, don't agonize over individual things that seem to be wrong. You know, he gives the other example is Hashem. The Rabbeinu Shalom created the world. If all in all the world is run by God, And it fascinates you that these things could take place, then individual things that happen, that seems to you like there's no God. How could such terrible things happen? You have to go with the cloud. You have to go with your general rule and say there must be an explanation for the prat. If the person is my friend and he did this, there must be an explanation. Because I like to tell people, when reasonable people do unreasonable things, there's usually a reasonable explanation. I find very often when people have complaints about something else somebody does, it's a line I tell people who are willing to listen through such a long sentence. When a reasonable person does an unreasonable thing, there's usually some reasonable explanation to it. There's usually some way to explain it. So, that's this idea, that if the klal is right, don't get hung up on the halakim. Don't get yourself all stretched out and fought out over something that's just not important in the big picture of things.
How do you balance, at least with respect to human beings, how do you balance that with what you taught about Maisim Mochicha Zu Zu?
On the contrary, it fits. Maisim Mochicha Zu Zu means you can judge something from other things. Right. So if you have someone that you know he's your good friend. You know he's wonderful to you. And you see that he goes over to your, when he thinks you're not looking, he goes over to your talus bag and, takes it out of your shtender and hides it somewhere. So you say, what's he doing to me? You know, so it's there's gotta be some reasonable explanation. I don't understand it. But instead of getting all hung up about it, you figure there must be some explanation. There gotta be something. And if you figure it out, you figure it out. You don't figure it out. But people get hung up on individual things that take place. And sometimes it's a poor judgment. So if someone does something to you, it is poor judgment. The question is, do you trust that the intentions were good? So you have to be mevar haklolim. If there's enough yibir haklolim, then the pratim don't matter. That's this idea. What? You have to speak up.
Question regarding this.
Yes.
So I understand the concept of the human relation and relation to the Hashem, but when it comes to scientific inquiry, it's completely different. You know, we have a theory, then we find an exception, then we get another theory that encompasses the exception.
There are exceptions to everything, and I don't mean to say there are no exceptions to anything. I'm talking about when things happen that you don't understand, you go with the klalim. Sometimes it's proven to be a prat, but 99% of the time it goes with the rules. Scientific theory as well.
I understand that that's the way we should act in human relations and in our relationship with Hashem. But when it comes to scientific inquiry,
I agree. If you travel over the bridge at 50 miles an hour 100 times, right now there's traffic, don't go with the klal and drive 50 miles an hour. If there's traffic, there's traffic. Facts can change. I agree. Facts can change. But in judging the klal.
The reason why I'm saying this is because this looks more like scientific inquiry, more than just.
This is true about scientific inquiry as well.
I'm sorry?
This is true about scientific inquiry. If gravity worked the last 10,000 times, it'll probably work this time. And if this time you drop something and it goes up, there's got to be an explanation. Now, it's true in science. Occasionally, there are exceptions. There are exceptions to everything. But you got to live your life with the klolim. You have to live your life with the klolim. If you're in the lab and there's an exception, it may be an exception. But before you go print in the journals that it's an exception, you better check it out well, because usually it's not. Okay, well, you can argue about that at a different time. It's not what he's talking about here, so we can argue about it.
I forgot what we were learning, that once someone inside that reaches the end of his life, and he says, I'm renouncing all the good that I did, it didn't mean anything, that's the one... the point that we take. It's true that everything that he did meant nothing.
And
he's the Scharat Alavishayim,
yes.
So why don't we say the same thing there?
I'm talking here because I'm not... You're misunderstanding. We're talking here about judging something that we don't understand. People change, facts change. There's such a thing as change in the world. I agree with you, there's such a thing as change. People could change. Somebody who loved you all your life could suddenly hate you. It's possible. But 99% of the time, if somebody loved you for the last 10 years, he probably loves you today too. Right? And 99% of the time, if you do something and it's a certain way, it'll be that way. Of course there are exceptions. Facts change. People get into fights. It happens. But as a general rule, everybody lives his life with klolim. Everybody, every time you open the door of your house, you don't know if there's somebody on the other side with a gun. It's possible. You'll tell me it happened one time in a certain place, someone with a gun. Someone will make a new rule, never open your front door. The klolim don't change because there are exceptions to klolim. There are ways we live our lives, and there are exceptions. Who's the last person you know that lived 80 years and renounced everything in the 81st year? We don't assume it's happening. It's possible. Understand? What you're telling me is the Gemara says if someone's a tzaddik for 80 years, he renounces it the next day, then it's all gone. It's true, but it doesn't contradict this.
So if you trusted somebody all your life and he was honest, and then he cheated.
If Rav Moshe was a tzaddik 80 years, the next day I go to ask him a shayla, I don't think, well, maybe he renounced everything this morning. I don't. I go with klolim. We all live our lives with klolim. That does not to say that exceptions can't happen. We don't live our lives that way. We live our lives with the klolim, and we bet our lives on it. Every time you go drive down a street, you know, you assume that the guy is going to stop at the stop sign. You keep on going. You don't brake every time you see someone coming. We live our lives with klolim, and there, unfortunately, there are exceptions. But those exceptions stick out in your mind because they're the exception. So at any rate, Omar Achav, Kshizbar HaKlolois Atitin Libcha LaChalakim. When the klolim are clear to you, don't get hung up over the individual challenges. Ki harbe shichtes b'matos, because very often you're just making a mistake. Vay sheinlam tachlis, there's no purpose. Mimnei she mistabchin, because they confuse. Vol yil layim litu ha-midabrim me-bilbulam. And those who get hung up on the pratim will not escape confusion. Zek kemishin is bar etzleit tzedek habayir. For example, if someone believes that God is righteous, and that God's wisdom is all encompassing, he doesn't get all hung up against God when he sees injustice in the world. Ukamayu Sha'amar, Im Eshek Rosh Vegezel Mishpat Vitzedek Tira Vimedina Al Titame Al Hachefetz. This is some sort of a quote from Kehelas Hay, not a word for word quote, but it's an idea that if you see injustice in the world, don't start wondering about God. For example, interesting thing. Somebody who, it's clear to him that there's a soul besides a body. Now listen to this. To me, this is an interesting kasha. He says, don't worry about it. But he got me worrying. He was wondering. He says like this. Bavur she'enenu gashmius. We believe the soul is not physical. Aval etzem nifrid mehagof kamalachim. The soul can live independent from the body like an angel. Now he says, you have a kasha. Einenu mabit. Don't get all hung up. Amesha tiksheyu hamachshava. You can ask the following kasha in your mind. Meheder pulas hanefesh beis hasheina. If the soul is independent, when the body is sleeping, why isn't the soul living its life? Why is it also not conscious? Imachayli shumabin hamachshava. Someone has a high fever and he can't think. So we see the soul does follow the state of the body. Other thoughts like this that confuse. So what he's saying is, if you have a rule, assume the rule is true. It's true in science, you'll find exceptions. It's true among people, you'll find exceptions. But in general, go with the rule. And therefore, if you understand that the Karaite approach to Torah can't be, and that we need Torah Sheval Peh, so go with the rule. And if something bothers you, don't get hung up on it. Amar Kuzari, the king says, Koze ein maspik li. I don't buy it. It's not good enough for me. Ad she'eshba medaber imach ala chalakim. I have to at least speak, or esba, maybe a sin. I will be satisfied to talk to you about some individual items. And tell me if I'm wrong. If you told me klolim, that contradicts it. So the chavur is telling him, don't get hung up about individual things. If you understand the karat shita is wrong, don't get hung up about individual things. And the king says, still, there are individual things that bother me. Amar achava emama shatiritzan. No choice. The king says, I want to talk. The chavur says, go ahead. Okay, in the Memvav, he starts asking him about Ayin Tachas Ayin, which I guess we'll get to, Mitzvah Shem, on Thursday.